Why don't we take our Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'd like to share the word this morning, and the title of my teaching is Asking for Wisdom. And I thought a very appropriate place to go in God's word was about Solomon and when he became king, asking for wisdom. And I think that's so true, that what we just talked about, because we're on this earth, we need to ask for it. We're not at that place where we know, even as we're known, there's still so much to learn, and we need God's wisdom as he reveals it to us. And I wanted to share these things because there's two sides to this coin, because there's two wisdoms, and there's two different walks of life that come out of them. There's even two different walks of life that come out of mixing the two wisdoms and living according to both of them. And we find ourselves dealing with this all the time. In fact, it is one of the huge contributors to tribulation and mental pressure, as Preston was sharing this morning. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, I'd like to start in verse 5 about Solomon receiving godly wisdom. And you can read this whole section of chapters of 1 all the way through of chapters 4 and 5 on your own, but I do want to caption a few of these things. And verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Talk about a relationship. God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. In verse 6, and Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness." This is the same word as mercy, great kindness, that we just read, mercy, great mercy. It's the same Hebrew word in the same verse. That means the reason being that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. It wasn't how good Solomon was. It wasn't all of the attributes he had because of living in the family of David and being David's son and having Bathsheba for a mother. Solomon was Bathsheba and David's fourth son. And it wasn't his claim to fame, his wealth. It was because of God's kindness to David. And I think it's safe to say that we have little, if no idea many times, on the stand that others have taken before us that has allowed God's kindness to reach into our lives. But we can be thankful to God for his kindness reaching into our lives, and we'll see that as the teaching progresses. That's what happened with Solomon. That, the reason being, thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, verse 7, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. Now, this little child, it's more expressing humility and inexperience in the context. Solomon probably was around 18 to 20 years old at this time. I know not how to go out or to come in. In verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Let me get a sip of water here. So Solomon was in a very interesting situation, wasn't he? He's in the midst of the people. Right smack dab in the middle of all these people, and he was chosen to be king. And it wasn't something that he even asked for. It wasn't something that he really was prepared for. He was chosen to be king, and he became king after his father David. And in verse 12, and this is God speaking to Solomon after Solomon told God what he would like to have, which was wisdom. And God said, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And after that, Solomon ruled over the children of Israel with godly wisdom and understanding. Well, he started out that way. And as his life during his 40-year rule progressed, many things transpired. I want to share some of those things because this is real life. It was real life for a real individual. And we've already seen a little bit about how Solomon came to be a king and also with his wisdom and understanding. He had and needed God's help. And we have and we need God's help in our life. There's so many parallels here. I'm going to share the parallels, not all of them, but most of them that I found and understand at the end of the teaching, how Solomon's life parallels things that we experience in our life. And so this teaching could be about the soul of man, what we experience and what we go through. And like we learned this morning, the tribulations in life are one of those things, right? Yeah, what we go through. Well, Solomon had plenty of his own too. I'd like to go to Song of Solomon chapter 3. And so we just read about Solomon receiving godly wisdom. And Solomon lived his life and he had great gladness as he received God's wisdom and started taking care of God's people. But his gladness turned to fear. And I want to share this with you about how Solomon's gladness at some point in his reign, it turned to fear. Song of Solomon chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 6 through 8 and verse 11. And in verse 6 of Song of Solomon chapter 3, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfume with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Who is this? Well, how did Solomon dress? How did he take care of himself? The wealthiest man in the world. He had anything and everything at his beck and call. Behold his bed, verse 7, which is Solomon's. 60 valiant men are about it of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh. Why? Because of fear in the night. Because of fear in the night. And if you go down to verse 11 of the same chapter, Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 11, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So that covers a quite a time period here. And he went from gladness of heart to having fear in the night. Well, God's wisdom doesn't come with fear in the night. Something happened. There are two wisdoms. In James chapter 3, I'd like to briefly show you these as we continue this understanding of Solomon and his wisdom. In James chapter 3, we're going to start to learn about what happened for Solomon to go from gladness of heart to fear in the night. In James chapter 3 and verse 15, we have two wisdoms. This wisdom, worldly wisdom, what is that word, Jerry, in German? Weltwissenschaft, world wisdom, German? You can correct me later. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And it was by God's mercy to David that Solomon became king. God's mercy is a red thread throughout his word. And even in 1 Kings chapter 3 that I just read in verse 6, it speaks of great mercy, and then it speaks of the beauty of God's great kindness. They translate it in English, the Hebrew word, trying to express the bouquet of what mercy is. And we'll learn more about that. But mercy is also a red thread throughout this teaching. God's mercy. And God's wisdom is full of mercy because we don't deserve one iota of it. And for God to give us His mercy is by His grace and by His mercy. And with what we learned this morning about the battle is over, the Adamic battle with what they caused back in Eden, Jesus Christ carried out the plan of salvation that God authored and kept it secret, and God's mercy was so involved with that. And now we have God's wisdom in our lives, and it's full of mercy. And so the two wisdoms, the wisdom from above is from God. It is what God gave to Solomon. God's mercy, it's full of great gladness. Solomon had great gladness when he received God's wisdom. How many thousand proverbs and songs did he know? Oh my gosh. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Well, what happened to Solomon? Let's go back to that in Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. I'd like to go to chapter 1 in Ecclesiastes, and let's just find out and let's glean some truths from this. And we'll see how they parallel and can apply from a Old Testament as for our learning a viewpoint. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, right before Song of Solomon, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 12. I, the preacher. Jose, have you ever done that in fellowship? Just stand up and go, I, the preacher. Well, doesn't it say in Romans, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? Joy, have you ever done that? I, the preacher? Yeah. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Well, Solomon, that's what he said. I, the preacher. He was a preacher. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Well, so too was Solomon. Verse 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I, the preacher, and then something happened in verses 2 through 12. And verse 13 says, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Verse 16 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Isn't that what God told him? That you're going to have more, be more, there won't be a king like you? You don't have to worry about it. There just isn't going to be anybody. I don't care what they say. You, the man. And I've gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. This word experience is the Hebrew word that's the same word as when Eve saw that the tree was good for food. The word saw. I'm just saying that world wisdom is getting a foothold here. My heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Solomon began stepping away from his great gladness and godly wisdom into a different kind of wisdom. Solomon, the preacher, the king over Israel and Jerusalem, gave his heart away to the other wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, this little bullet point captions that nobody tells the king what to do. Now, I trust that coming to your minds from your study of the Old Testament, there were men of God that came and talked to the king. And you are the man. So we know that. But that didn't happen here. That didn't happen with Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. This is the freedom and the liberty that a king has. Ecclesiastes 8, 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Who's going to tell the king? You're going to go walk up to him? Well, it would take a mighty man or woman of God going in there to do something. And that didn't happen right here. Solomon began using his God-given wisdom for other things than for leading God's people, because that's why God gave him his wisdom. I want to be able to lead your people, God, the children of Israel. I can't do that without wisdom and understanding. And that's why God gave it to him. He was using God's wisdom now for things other than they were originally intended. And that usually brings calamity. And so we see a little bit of that as is recorded here. With Solomon, no one confronted him as he used his kingly liberties. Well, are we royalty also? Yeah, it is. We are. I could do really cool teaching. In fact, I took all the verses that have all to do with the parallels, and I've documented them in the New Testament as to who we are. But we are royalty. We're a royal nation. Well, Solomon was, so are we. With us in our lives, sometimes the only person that we have to confront us is the person in the mirror. It's up to us. It's okay. We don't need somebody come knocking at our door. We have such freedom and liberty. Well, Solomon did. We have freedom and liberty. But we don't want to use our liberty as an occasion to do what? Serve the flesh. Yeah. Well, you see the parallels here? Okay. We love our freedom and liberty in Christ. And for us, many times, it's the man in the mirror. It's what we just do. They do that checkup from the neck up. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let's bump up to the next chapter. This is Solomon's wisdom remained. How incredible. But then I go, well, I won't say that yet. Solomon's wisdom remains. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I'd like to start reading in verse 1. And I'm just going to read through, but I'm absolutely fascinated by this. I just absolutely love it. There's things in the Old Testament about building and about the understanding of putting your hand to the plow that they just are mind-boggling. You know, when they built a temple, they assemble it in the plains of Mamre. And so when they put it together, there was not the sound of a hammer when they moved it to its location. Wow. Wow. And the best I can equate to that sometimes is that when I work with quietness and I get my job done. So there's parallels, and I love thinking about it like that. Well, let's start in verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I said in mine heart, verse 2, I said, verse 3, I sought, verse 4, 5, and 6, I made, verse 7, I got, verse 8, I gathered, verse 9, so was I great. Let's start back in verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heavens all the days of their life. Verse 4, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. And to water them, I had to make pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. You know, as you're building and growing and progressing through life, you can see that there's more responsibility. There's things you have to do that are on your shoulders because of choices, decisions, and the way that you have accumulated and grown into whatever life that you've grown in. Well, Solomon was dealing with this too. Verse 7, I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Wow, what a job to take care of livestock. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights, and this is in a sexual nature that this verse is speaking of in part, The delights of the Son of Man as musical instruments and that of all sorts. Suffice to say that Solomon tried many things in his life. And what he was trying to do was to understand more of God's wisdom. Well, wasn't that the trick in Genesis? That you don't have enough? There's something that God didn't give you? You still need this thing? Oh yeah, that's exactly what this was. Verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. The most stunning part. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Well, I thank God for that because every one of us has dealt with Romans chapter 7. The thing that I hate, that do I, that I would not, that I find myself doing, I find in the law. And we're just going to be so thankful when Jesus Christ comes back and we can get rid of this old man body nature and we have the new man 100%. We deal with that. But has our wisdom ever left us? No. We still have it. Yeah. Verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Do we do that with God's wisdom? No. No. But Solomon did. So there's some things you don't want to parallel in your life, right? I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Well, there's a lot more to this, and you can't go the world's wisdom way and expect to find the beauty of what God's wisdom provides. It is just not going to happen. No matter what Solomon did, his godly wisdom remained with him. And this is God's grace and favor. This is God's mercy. This is God's tenderheartedness and loving kindness. But no matter where Solomon looked, he couldn't find anything that even came close to godly wisdom and understanding. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, flip over a couple of chapters. I would like to read verses 9 and 10 in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 as we see this little section about how Solomon's wisdom remained with him. Verse 9, Ecclesiastes 12. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Well, thank God for that. He kept teaching. He did. He kept teaching people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Well, with all that word of God that he had, he still taught the people knowledge. But he also went and did all these other things. So he had these two things going in his life. And I want to show you about the turned away heart, because we started talking earlier about how did he turn from gladness to fear? And we have to go to 1 Kings chapter 11 to do that. We have to go to 1 Kings chapter 11 because something happened in Solomon's life that he had accumulated, he had amassed, he had gotten to the place he wanted to be, or the greatest place that anybody had ever been, because nobody was ever going to amass and attain to what Solomon had attained to. And God told him that in that dream that night when he was a lot younger. And in 1 Kings chapter 11, we're going to understand a little more as we read this about the turned away heart. Verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 11, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, women have been given the worst rap. The worst rap, because it's not the person, it's what this word represents, and it represents wisdom. It represents wisdom. And so if you can look at the words like strange women as world wisdom, it makes it easy to understand. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, You shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And I know there's a link here between how God loves to be loved and how that Solomon did this. He turned away his heart from the love that he originally had with great gladness of heart. And he was in a position, he was in a whole life because of God's mercy toward David, his father. And we also bear in mind that the Christ line is continuing. And amazing, amazing how it is. This affects us even to this day. And he had 700, verse 3, he had 700 wives. This is like a city. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Well, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, but Solomon, in adding world wisdom to his repertoire, also switched his love from God and God's wisdom to other things. He clave to these in love. So don't look at the person, look at what it represents. And God was real clear about idolatry and worshiping other gods. It's what they did. My next point is in Proverbs chapter 3 about God's wisdom. It simply is not to be compared. Proverbs chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 13 to 18. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. This is the wisdom that Solomon originally received. Good stuff. And the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That right there can tell anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear that world wisdom will never match up. Just like God told Solomon, there's not going to be another king that will ever match up to you. Don't even need to look. It's not going to happen. It's not available. And so if it's not available, don't even need to go looking. You don't need to go test the waters to know if it's true or not. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. Well, I don't see anything about fear here. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Oh, there's the happy, the glad. Excuse me. Well, it's better to believe God's word than it is to have to learn from hands-on experience like Solomon did. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you need to do it. And he didn't need to do it, but he did it. World wisdom and all its masquerades can never be compared with God's wisdom. Solomon thought he needed more than what God gave him, and that's that same seductive lie that happened back with Adam and Eve. And my final point is speaking to wisdom. I made a point of this a minute ago, but I wanted to go to Proverbs chapter 7 to let the word say it. Proverbs chapter 7, I'd like to read verses 4 and 5. And in verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. The strange woman is that world wisdom. And the wisdom, you can call it sister, kinswoman. It's just cool how God put it in there. It's family. It's what it's supposed to be. Think of sister, kinswoman, woman, stranger as being one of the two types of wisdom. Context will show it. Solomon rushed headlong into the strange woman, into worldly wisdom, and he took anything his heart, his eyes desired. He was the king who was telling him not to. Well, and when he looked in the mirror, he said, it's cool. You can do it. You're king. And I wanted to show you the parallels because of who we are in Christ, what we have. which is far greater than anything Solomon ever had. Far greater. You can read about that in the Gospels. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as even the flowers. And what we have because of Christ in us is so beautiful. Not because of how good we are. We were dead in sins and trespasses without God and without hope. It's because of what God did for us because of his mercy and his grace. And we have that. We have eternal life. Thank you, God. We have everything. We are God's little children. Wisdom is made unto us. We can ask of God and he gives wisdom to us liberally. Our wisdom remains with us. We are a royal priesthood, royalty in the family of God. Because of God's kindness in protecting the Christ line, we are his sons and daughters, and he has protected the Christ line. We reign as kings now and throughout eternity. With our liberty in Christ, we don't use it as an occasion to serve the flesh. By and with agape, we serve one another. Fear has no place with our power, agape, and a sound mind, because God did not give us the spirit of fear. Solomon had fear. It did not come from God's wisdom, and it does not come from God's wisdom to this day. When and where there's fear, the word of God needs to be put on. Yeah. We have the beautiful feet of godly preachers of righteousness. With our wisdom, we serve in the body of Christ. This is a far, far greater number than the amount of people that Solomon took care of. Like Jesus Christ, we remain obedient to God and to his word. That's the key. And you can go to Philippians chapter 2 to see that, where he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a doulos. He became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Yes. Because of the wisdom from above and our laboring according to it, our running to serve and our labor is not in vain. That's also in Philippians chapter 2, that we have not run in vain. We have not labored in vain. That was a lot of labor that Solomon did, chasing the world wisdom. And he came up with the answer that there's nothing like God's wisdom in it. It can come off beautiful. It can come off amazing. It will steal all your time. It will take your whole life. And it will cause the heart to turn from God. And this is what keeps the heart not turning away, is to stay in God's wisdom, to keep our hearts and our lives where they are, to keep standing because of what God's done for us through Christ Jesus. And so, as we ask for wisdom, we're doing it. Why? Because we need more understanding to take care of serving a greater calling. And we can be so proud of ourselves for who we are, for how we serve, for who we serve, for what we serve, and having the privilege to be part of the family of God like this. Not because of how good we are, but because of how good God made us through Christ Jesus. And what a blessing that is. And our response and our thankfulness to having this beautiful life is to give our life in service and have our thankfulness to God for him having given us and graced us by his mercy with the eternal life. Asking for wisdom. Amen.